Hanuman quickly traversed the entire city, jumping from one rooftop to the next. He detected many spies in various disguises. He also saw an army of 100,000 Rakshasas protecting Ravana's palace, which was completely encircled by thick walls made of gold. And as Hanuman searched for Sita throughout Lanka, he beheld great palaces with jewel-inlaid doors. The walls within were dust-free and as clear as crystal. The floors were laid out in fascinating designs. Filigree stairways inlaid with gold and silver led to balconies, and above them were magnificent domes and ceilings. Musical instruments played as the wives of the Rakshasas came and reclined in the arms of their amorous husbands. As he entered one residence after another, Hanuman saw lovers caressing each other, while other women applied sandalwood paste to their bodies. Here someone slept, there someone laughed, while others engaged in affairs of lovemaking. Someone was sprawled out naked, having been left aside by her husband, and someone else, decorated with flowers and ornaments, was just welcoming her lover. In this way, Hanuman observed thousands of beautiful women with moon-like faces, their lotus petal eyes casting sidelong glances that beguiled the hearts of their loved ones. However, as there was no trace of Sita, Hanuman became somewhat disheartened. Hanuman then decided to search throughout the palaces belonging to Ravana's relatives and consorts. From a distance, these residences appeared to be like enormous clusters of monsoon clouds illuminated by streaks of lightning. After searching through many wonderfully opulent homes, Hanuman entered the palace of Ravana, which was filled with beautiful women and the sound of tinkling ornaments. Indeed, Hanuman felt as though he were being carried across the sky in a celestial chariot pulled by white swans. The interior of Ravana's palace was a ravishing paradise with wish-fulfilling trees surrounded by jewel-like flowers. While roaming about, Hanuman saw many pleasure rooms with their floors wet from wine and liquor. There were rooms filled with all varieties of weapons and rooms filled with treasure. However, to Hanuman's disappointment, Sita was nowhere to be seen. But he had not yet searched Ravana's personal quarters, which alone were 4 miles wide and 8 miles long. And as Hanuman wandered throughout Ravana's vast domain, he considered how to enter the apartments. Finally, he came to the room where the Pushpaka chariot was being kept. This chariot was originally built by Vishvakarma for Lord Brahma and could traverse the sky simply by following the mental indication of the driver. The Pushpaka chariot hovered above the floor and was adorned with birds made from jewels that flapped their wings mechanically and with snakes made of silver and gold. Inside were artificial elephants with shapely trunks that showered scented water upon a carved statue of the goddess of fortune Lakshmi, who stood elegantly within a pool of water, a lotus flower in each of her 4 lovely hands. The Pushpaka chariot appeared like a large floating hill and was fitted with stairways of gold, white crystal floors, and balconies made from sapphires. Just to get a good look at Ravana's inner apartments, Hanuman jumped up onto the Pushpaka chariot. From that vantage point, Hanuman could see a great hall with a crystal floor that was inlaid with pearls, diamonds, and gold, and covered by a great carpet, having the geography of the earth with all of its mountains and seas as its design. Stairways made of gems led to the upper levels, and everything was softly illuminated by golden lamps whose light reflected upon countless valuable jewels. Everything about this spectacular hall was gratifying to the five senses. Thus, Hanuman began to wonder, "Where am I? Is this heaven? This could well be the supreme realm of even Lord Brahma." Upon entering the inner quarters, Hanuman saw thousands of beautiful, colorfully dressed women sprawled upon an expansive carpet. With half of the night gone, they were fast asleep under the influence of intoxicating wines and the exhaustion from their amorous revels. The women's jeweled bracelets, belts, and ankle bells were now silent, although sparkling, and thus appeared like lotus lakes, serene with silent swans and sleeping bees. Hanuman thus gazed upon the ladies, who lay there with eyes closed and lips tightly shut, like fragrant lotus flowers that close their petals upon the arrival of evening. In their stupor, the ladies' hair had become disheveled and their jewels scattered. While dancing and drinking, their ankle bracelets had been misplaced, their marks of tilak erased, and their necklaces broken. Their belts were loosened, their dresses wrinkled, and their garlands torn and trampled. They appeared like flowering creepers that had been crushed by elephants. Some of the ladies slept, using their bracelet-adorned arms as pillows, while others reposed on the breasts of their co-wives, and still others rested their heads upon another's lap, stomach, or even buttocks. Still others, captured in love's intoxication, relaxed with arms interclasped, embracing each other as they slept. Thus seeing this scene, Hanuman wondered, whose limbs are those? Whose garlands? Whose clothes? Whose ornaments? Indeed, the consorts of Ravana were so intimately united in sleep that it was difficult to know who was who, but not whom they served. Under the influence of lust, innumerable daughters of kings, brahmanas, daityas, and gandharvas had all become wives of Ravana. Ravana had kidnapped some of them after defeating their relatives, but all had accepted him willingly under the infatuation of desire. None were low-born, ugly, crude, or stupid, and none were neglected by Ravana, the Lord of Lanka. And within their midst, Hanuman saw Ravana lying asleep upon an elegant silken couch placed atop a crystal dais and covered with a white canopy which was decorated with flowers. Ravana was seen to have one head and two arms, for it was only in battle that Ravana would assume his gigantic form with 10 heads and 20 arms. And Hanuman also noticed the numerous wounds upon Ravana's body coming from such illustrious weapons as King Indra's thunderbolt, Airavata's tusk, and Lord Vishnu's chakra. Ravana's dark complexion body was smeared with sandalwood paste. His earrings flashed like fire as he lay exhausted from a night of feasting, drinking, and erotic enjoyment. Hanuman stared at Ravana respectfully, recoiling slightly in awe of his powerful, majestic appearance. Then Hanuman again turned his attention to Ravana's consorts, who surrounded him like so many glittering stars encircling the full moon. Several were sleeping in the arms of their beloved lord, while others caressed the musical instruments they had played earlier in the evening. Like a lotus clinging to a floating tree branch in midstream, one slender waisted beauty embraced her veena. Another held a drum in her lap as if it were her infant child, while another full-breasted lady hugged her tambourine tightly as though it was her lover who had returned from a long absence. And lying a bit apart from the rest of these women, on a lavishly decorated couch, was the fair-complexioned Mandodari, Ravana's favorite queen. When Hanuman saw how young, beautiful, and dignified she appeared, he thought, this must be Sita. Feeling thus overjoyed at his discovery, Hanuman rejoiced like a monkey by slapping his arms, jumping for joy, kissing his tail, and climbing up and down the palace pillars. However, after a moment's consideration, Hanuman concluded, "No, this cannot be Sita. It must be someone else, for Sita would not be able to even eat or sleep in separation from Ram. Nor would she decorate herself nicely or accept the association of another male, even if it were the King of Heaven. Indeed, in comparison to Ram, what are the demigods, and what to speak of a wicked Rakshasa like Ravana?" Thereafter, Hanuman continued his search, wandering from room to room throughout the rest of Ravana's palace. He saw thousands of moon-faced women sleeping amidst vessels containing huge quantities of meat and wine, along with drinking glasses that were scattered about. Hanuman had to observe all these women very closely while searching for Sita, and thus he began to have misgivings. "Perhaps I have violated religious principles by gazing upon the wives of others sleeping in a state of undress. Oh, what will be my destination?" However, after some consideration, Hanuman then concluded, "It is the motive that determines whether an act is virtuous or sinful. While gazing upon these women, I have remained pure in mind, for my only concern is to find Sita. And since I am looking for a woman, where else can I search except among women? And I am only doing this in the service of Lord Ram. Therefore, my looking upon others' wives cannot be considered sinful." When Hanuman had completed his search of Ravana's palace without finding a trace of Sita, he concluded that she must no longer be alive. Hanuman became saddened at heart. He wondered what he would tell the other monkeys who were anxiously awaiting his return. However, Hanuman fought his depression by reminding himself that unwavering determination is the only cause for success. Still hoping for the best, Hanuman continued to search the places that remained uncovered. But after scouring Lanka again and again, Hanuman became completely disheartened. Although Sampati had assured him that Sita was in Lanka, Hanuman could not find her anywhere. He then began to speculate about what might have happened. Perhaps Sita died out of fear while being carried to Lanka by Ravana. Or perhaps he dropped her out of fear of Ram. Or Sita might have wriggled free and fallen into the ocean. Or perhaps Ravana even devoured her when she refused to become his consort. Hanuman's thoughts then turned to the disastrous results that would ensue if he were to return to Ram and report his failure. Without Sita, Ram will surely give up his life, and Lakshman will follow suit. And when Bharat and Shatrughna hear that Ram and Lakshman have died, they too will also end their lives. With all four sons gone, the three mothers will certainly wither away and die. Because of their failure, Sugriva, Angada, and the other monkeys will give up their lives out of shame. Therefore, I must not return to Kishkindya. Either I will commit suicide or live out the rest of my life as a recluse. And as Hanuman struggled to emerge from these gloomy thoughts, he thus considered, maybe I should just kill Ravana, or else drag him back to Ram so that Ravana can be offered as a human sacrifice to Lord Shiva.